Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The passion and purpose of the Christian Research Institute is to contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered to the saints by focusing on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. To connect with CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Yeah, thank you very much, Randy. A grand new experiment, 2018. On the horizon, we don't know what 2018 will bring. We do know that we have an opportunity to serve the Lord in 2018. And the voice of the Christian Research Institute, as an institute, making a difference around the world, never more important than it is today. We will speak the truth without compromise. We will never give in to political correctness or popularity for popularity's sake. This is a platform to be used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom, and we are thankful for all those who sacrificed to support this ministry in 2017 so that we can be here in 2018. I was thinking about the fact that I did this broadcast 30 years ago in 1988, 30 years ago. And I am heartened by the fact that this ministry continues to touch lives for time and for eternity. In fact, I was reading a stack of testimonies before I came into the office today. I left them in my office, so I forgot to bring them in the studio. But those testimonies were testimonies that encouraged me, recognizing that this ministry is touching lives for God's glory, for time and for eternity. So as in 2017, we ask people to stand with us prayerfully and financially in 2018 as well. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web, equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember, you can talk to resource consultants as well, 888-7000. And the letters CRI. The book available for those who support the ministry all this month, and I'm really excited about it, is titled Zombie Science. It's written by Jonathan Wells. I just did a podcast, which will be airing shortly, with Jonathan Wells. So what is zombie science? And by the way, Jonathan Wells, he is a senior fellow with the Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, holds a PhD in molecular and cell biology, that from the University of California, Berkeley, and this is pretty interesting, one guy with two PhDs in these fields, one in molecular and cell biology, the other in religious studies from Yale University. And this book, Zombie Science, More Icons of Evolution, is a must-read. I read it with great delight. One of the things Jonathan Wells points out is that when we use the word science, we ought to be careful to define the kind of science that we're talking about. There is, for example, technological science, modern advances in medicine and technology. And then there is, and you hear about this all the time, establishment science, often referred to as consensus science. Science says, or all scientists say. So there is a seeming consensus, and that makes it true. Consensus science in the 18th century said that, well, spontaneous generation was true. Back in the 16th century, consensus science said that the sun revolves around the earth. We know that's not true. And Jonathan Wells makes a delightful little anecdote in the book about eggs, where he points out that science tells us, consensus science that is, or establishment science, tells us that eggs are bad for us. Well, thankfully, In the 21st century, the U.S. government finally called off its decades war on eggs in 2015. So now you can eat all the eggs you want. And Jonathan Wells talks about how he ate eggs, even though consensus science was telling him that eggs were bad for him, because he still felt okay. So he kept eating eggs, and he ate eggs, and he ate eggs, and now eggs are good for you. So you can't trust establishment science. What you ought to trust is what's called empirical science. That's science as it ought to be. It's a hypothesis repeatedly tested and found consistent with the evidence and thus rightly regarded as being true. But unfortunately, holding sway in our culture today is zombie science, the title of the book. Zombies, of course, are the walking dead. And in science, theories that don't fit the evidence still haunt the hallowed halls of learning. Zombie science involves the hypothesis that is starved for evidence and yet is being fed to unsuspecting consumers. And that's precisely what Darwin's theory of evolution is. It's zombie science. It's the untenable notion that microevolution, given enough time, produces macroevolution. And in zombie science, the narrative always trumps the facts. The icon becomes the argument. And there are all kinds of dead icons of evolution that continue to haunt the hallways of academia. And there is no greater zombie icon than Darwin's Tree of Life. This is the zombie theory that humans and fruit flies share a common ancestor. Or as Richard Dawkins, Darwin's Doberman, put it, boys and bananas, they share common ancestry as well. Darwin's Tree of Life, of course, appears in The Origin of Species. I think it's the only illustration in the entire book. And it's useful, because it has been used from then till now to persuade the faithful that all species are, as Darwin said, lineal descendants of some few beings which lived long before the first bed of the Cambrian system was deposited. At the root of the tree are a handful of organic building blocks. At the tips, well, are all modern species. The Tree of Life is iconic. It's not just an icon. It is the principal icon of evolution. In fact, the mere mention of it invokes devotees of Darwinian evolution to bow deeply at the twin altars of common descent and natural selection. Remember Darwin saying, "I should infer that probably all the organic beings which have ever lived on this earth may be descended from some one primordial form." But this is zombie science. The icon is demonstrably incorrect. Why? Because in the geological period designated Cambrian, the highest orders in the biological hierarchy appear suddenly. They appear fully formed. I recall Oxford zoologist Richard Dawkins acknowledging as much when he said it is as though these fossils were planted there without any evolutionary history. And that is precisely the case. Darwin's Tree of Life is not only uprooted by the Cambrian explosion, but the fossil record shows no evidence of the origin of species by means of common descent and natural selection. It is zombie science. It is a hoax. And unfortunately, it still haunts our classrooms. And that's why this zombie science book is so important. In it, what Jonathan Wells does is he takes these icons, like the ape-to-man icon, or Archaeopteryx. I could name a whole bunch of them. He takes these icons and he explodes the myth. And what I love about the book, quite frankly, is he does it in humorous fashion. You can't help but smile or sometimes giggle as you read through the book. He is a delightful communicator, but he's exposing a very serious problem. Because other than Darwin's magnum opus, The Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, I cannot think of a more significant book. Well, I can think of one, the Bible. But this book, The Origin of Species, or Origins as it is typically referred to, it is the most significant literary work in the annals of recorded history, again, with the exception of the Bible. In fact, Sir Julian Huxley called the evolutionary dogma it spawned the most powerful, the most comprehensive idea that has ever arisen upon the earth. It is the most fundamental of all intellectual revolutions. And our century cannot be comprehended apart from the intellectual revolution that the theory has produced. The consequences of this cosmogenic myth are felt in virtually every field, every level of education, every area of practice. But I would say among the most significant of its consequences is that it uproots, if true, the very foundation of Christianity. Because if indeed evolution is reflective of the laws of science, then Genesis must be reflective of the flaws of Scripture. And if the foundation of Christianity is flawed, the superstructure is destined to fall. So what does evolution teach us? Well, it teaches us about the sovereignty of self as opposed to the sovereignty of God. Because as the great-grandson of Thomas Huxley boasted, in the evolutionary system of thought, there is no longer need or room for the supernatural. The earth was not created, it evolved. So did all the animals and plants that inhabit it. And that includes our human selves, our mind and soul, our brain, our body. It includes religion. And so, according to the evolutionary dogma, evolutionary man can no longer take refuge from his loneliness by creeping for shelter into the arms of a divinized father figure whom he himself has created as the figment of his own imagination. So what happened as a result? What was the consequence? Well, the new found autonomy of humanity sacrificed truth on the altar of subjectivism. Ethics, morals, no longer determined on the basis of objective standard, but rather by the size and strength of the latest lobby group. And with no enduring reference point, societal norms quickly reduced, well, to mere matters of preference. And then you had the sexual revolution, and that's a revolution that is with us to this day. It's the most serious of all revolutions, quite frankly. You can trace most of the ills of the 21st century to the sexual revolution. Sir Julian Huxley, in this regard, said that the concept of a creator God interferes with our sexual mores, and so we bought into evolution because, well, it got rid of God, and now we can do whatever we think is right. I think perhaps the most serious of all the consequences is survival of the fittest. Well, certainly among the most serious, I mean, they're all serious, where Darwin says the more civilized so-called Caucasian races have beaten the Turkish hollow in the struggle for existence, and therefore at no very distant date, an endless number of lower races will have been eliminated by higher civilized races throughout the world. Think about the horror of survival of the fittest. If the unfit survived indefinitely, well, they would continue to infect the fit with their less fit genes, and the more fit genes would be diluted, and evolution could not take place. So we had eugenics to get rid of the less fit genes. the horrors of the evolutionary dogma, its consequences live on with us today. Again, that is why it is so important for us to deal with this, not one of the apologetic issue, but the most important of all apologetic issues, the issue of origins. I am so delighted to be able to talk about this all month long. Zombie Science, More Icons of Evolution by Jonathan Wells. The podcast and the broadcast all this month will enlighten you, but you'll learn about the consequences. You think about the sexual revolution today? Well, the consequences lie in this, the most revolutionary of all ideas that sought to undermine the biblical Christian ethic. We'll be back in just a few moments with answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Stay tuned, for we'll be right back.
Using the acronym FARCE, F-A-R-C-E, Hank Hanegraaff reminds you why evolutionary theory is false, and he wants to equip you with this flip chart titled Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution. It's a flip chart in our Hankronym series, and it's our thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your Farce of Evolution flip chart when you call with your donation. 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. We'll be right back with Hank Hanegraaff after this. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app. Free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. We have the perfect resource to help you stand for truth regarding creation. It's Hank Hanegraaff's flip chart, Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution. If you've ever seen a flip chart from our Hankronym series, you know they work. They're compact, portable, and packed with solid biblical truths you need to know so you can stand against false teaching such as the theory of evolution. Using the inherently memorable acronym F-A-R-C-E, Hank equips you to share the news that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Hank wants to bless you with his flip chart as thanks for your donation today to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please call 888-7000-CRI to request your flip chart and share your donation. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. equip.org. In 2017, we became familiar with the term fake news. In 2018, we want you to become familiar with the term fake science, or zombie science, as Dr. Jonathan Wells calls it in his book. The job of a scientist is to follow the evidence wherever it leads. Unfortunately, many scientists are failing to do their job in order to maintain the materialist manifesto's status quo. It's time to be equipped with the truth and put an end to this fake zombie science. To receive your copy of Zombie Science, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. And now, let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. You can ask me about science or zombie science, or for that matter, you can ask me about anything at all. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Jason, Holyoke, Massachusetts, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Jason.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I have a question, and, I just want to make sure, I'm not reading too much into it or trying to get too deep into it, but, throughout time, I've heard teachings on Abraham, and not to say any of it's not true, but it never really specifies about, it always starts with that he was obedient, that, he left his kindred land, and he left his kindred, and he left his father, and all that. But when I read that, his father passed away, and his father's house being an inheritance. But if you read that, it sounds like to me, he took Lot, and it also states that, he took everything with him that he obtained there. So, the only obedience I see there is that he did leave with the faith that God was going to lead him to this promise. But I know it says in Hebrews that, after receiving his inheritance, he was obedient. And I understand that part, but, it's never... I never hear
that.
There's
a couple of things about this. First of all, let me say this, that the Bible paints the patriarchs with all their warts and moles and wrinkles. So Abraham is not exonerated as a perfect person. The Bible never tries to do that with any of the patriarchs. They are not airbrushed characters. They're very realistic characters. But I think you're very wise to point to Hebrews. Because if we leave the magnifying glass in the hands of the New Testament writers, they will illumine what the Old Testament text may not tell us. And so, again, your wisdom is shown by pointing to Hebrews chapter 11, where we're told by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. And that's the main point. He obeyed the call of God, and he went. And he went even though he did not know where he was going. He went by faith. And by faith, he made a home in the promised land. And by faith, he was a stranger in a foreign country. And by faith, he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob. And why did he do all of that? Well, in the text that you point to, we're told that he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. So he looked beyond the temporary, and he looked to the eternal. And that's why he is mentioned in that great Faith Hall of Fame chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. And I would also note that you can find Abraham referred to throughout the Bible. I think about Romans chapter 4 or James chapter 2. In James chapter 2, Abraham believed God. It was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. And then we see the conclusion by James where he says, you see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. So Abraham was one who acted. He went. He was obedient. He responded to the call, and that's the point.
And, you know, and I understand that point. I'm not saying that everyone teaches it this way, but a majority of teachings I've heard is it always paints this perfect picture. And just like you said, the New Testament, it reveals these things. But, you know, we also see this.
Well, the Old Testament, though, reveals his imperfections. And so there's no sense whatsoever that we have of Abraham being a perfect person or Abraham obeying in completeness. He does not. Again, he is a human being subject to all the frailties of human beings, but he was called a friend of God because he believed God and because he had an eternal perspective.
Yeah, that's what I see. I was just wondering, you know, if I was reading too much into it or whatever.
No, I think what you're doing is wise because you're contextualizing what's going on in the Old Testament, where we don't necessarily have an answer one way or the other. The text isn't designed at that point to answer the question. You're contextualizing it by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit moves through the New Testament writers to reveal truths that we might not otherwise know.
Well, I appreciate your time. Thanks, Hank.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. And we get a lot of great calls, but we get questions in a lot of different ways. One of the questions that we received recently was from Will at equip.org. People leave us questions there all the time. Will says, my atheist friend agrees with us. Now, I love this question because it's right on point. My atheist friend agrees with us that some behaviors are actually right or wrong. For example, we intuitively know that it is wrong to murder children. But my atheist friend says that when Christians argue for the existence of God on the basis of morality, they show utter ignorance of the fact that Plato defeated the contention more than two millennia ago with his Euthyphro dilemma. So if people argue for the existence of God on the basis of morality, well, they're ignorant because Plato already solved this problem in another way with a Euthyphro dilemma. Well, what is Euthyphro? Well, he's a character in one of the dialogues of Plato, and this Euthyphro dilemma has become very famous because it is named after the famed dialogues. The dialogue purportedly puts Greek gods on the horns of a dilemma. Is something good because the gods will it? Or do the gods will it because it is good? Well, is this a true dilemma or not? I would say it's not really a dilemma. But here's the bottom line. If we say that something is good because the gods will it, we immediately perceive a problem. Goodness, or the lack of goodness, is left in the hands of capricious gods. Put another way, right or wrong, good or bad, become arbitrary. The gods might well have predicted pedophilia, a moral imperative, despite our intuitive revulsions. And on the other hand, if we say that the gods will something because it is good, we are gored by the opposite horn of this, well, this fake news dilemma. Good and evil, right and wrong, have now become autonomous. And if this is so, the gods are subordinate, not sovereign. But here's the solution to the fake news or fake dilemma. If we say that something is good because it reflects the nature of God, then good and evil, right and wrong, are neither arbitrary nor autonomous. God, by the way, not the gods, God wills what he wills because he is good. And what he wills is right because what he wills is reflective of and consistent with his nature. So, what's posited as a dilemma, in reality, is no dilemma at all. If Plato's Euthyphro serves any purpose, it would be to teach us to question the question rather than assuming that the question is valid. Well, there's a second part to that question, and that is that the atheist friend, Will's atheist friend, thinks that the strong intuition that we have that murdering children is wrong is either an illusion, a trick played on us by evolution, or simply a brute fact of reality that needs no explanation, like the existence of the universe is just a brute fact that needs no explanation. Well, what is the response to that? Well, again, there are only three possibilities with respect to the universe in which we live. And that, according to philosophical naturalism, which is the worldview undergirding evolutionism. The universe is an illusion. You know, the solipsists believe that, but they look both ways before they cross the street. The universe sprang from nothing. Well, nothing comes from nothing, nothing ever could. Julie Andrews knew as much in The Sound of Music. The universe eternally existed. No one believes that today. So philosophical naturalism, in essence, doesn't have an answer. But the Bible does. The Christian worldview does. And the answer is that the universe had a cause greater than itself. The uncaused great cause. If there's a big bang, there has to be a big banger. If there's a universe, there has to be a cause of the universe that is greater than the universe itself. And so we now know that uncaused first cause because the uncaused first cause has revealed himself in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So the Christian worldview corresponds to reality. And so we know that murdering children is wrong, not because it is an illusion or a trick played on us by evolution or simply a brute fact that requires no explanation. No, we know that murder is right or wrong, or all wrongs are wrong, because there's a North Star. And if there's a North Star, we don't have to set our sights by shooting stars. Got all kinds of shooting stars. Everybody has an opinion. Why? Because it's something that I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, that now truth is not determined by some objective reference point. It's determined by the size and scope of the latest lobby group. It's an opinion piece. Well, whenever you get into opinion pieces, you get into trouble. Because the opinion of consensus science used to tell us one thing, you know, geocentrism and then heliocentrism, and then we found out that we are in a flattened arm of a spiral, flattened spiral galaxy, and so there's a whole lot more out there than we ever envisioned before. So as knowledge increases, the biblical worldview doesn't fall, it rises. The evolutionary worldview, however, should fall. It should make a fatal fall, and I hope it does when you read Zombie Science. Check it out on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back with a quote of the day and more.
In an age of empirical science, no statement could be more certain, clear, or correct than, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And now, you and I can readily share and defend this truth of God's work in creation with the aid of Hank Hanegraaff's flip chart, Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution. It's a flip chart in our Hankronym series, and Hank wants to equip you with this powerful resource as thanks for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please call and request your Farce of Evolution flip chart today, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Stay with us. There's more from Hank Hanegraaff coming up next. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The issue of where humans came from isn't just an apologetic issue, it's the apologetic issue. Because how you view your origin ultimately determines how you live your life. That's why Hank Hanegraaff created his flip chart, Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution, and he wants to get it into your hands today. It's a flip chart in our Hankronym series. And by using the acronym FARCE, F-A-R-C-E, you can stand with God's truth against false paradigms like the theory of evolution. It's a compact, user-friendly tool, and Hank wants to equip you with this important resource as thanks for your donation today in support of the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your FARCE flip chart when you call with your donation, 888-7000-CRI. Or go to equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Science has enriched our lives and led to countless discoveries, but Dr. Jonathan Wells argues that it's being corrupted. Empirical science is devolving into zombie science, shuffling along unfazed by opposing evidence. Discredited icons of evolution rise from the dead, while more icons, equally bogus, join their ranks. Like a B-horror movie, they just keep coming. Zombies are make-believe, but zombie science is real, and it threatens not just science, but our whole culture. Is there any solution? Wells is sure of it, and he points the way in his book, Zombie Science. To receive your copy, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Well, let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. I saw the movie A Darkest Hour yesterday with some of my family members, including my lovely wife, Kathy. And I saw some Winston Churchill quotes, and it made me go and look at other Winston Churchill quotes, and I found one that I thought would be an appropriate quote of the day, and it is as follows. United wishes and goodwill cannot overcome brute facts. Truth is incontrovertible. Panic may resent it, ignorance may reside it, malice may distort it, but there it is. I think I did justice to it. Let me try one more time. United wishes and goodwill cannot overcome brute facts. Truth is incontrovertible. Panic may resent it. Ignorance may deride it. Malice may distort it. But there it is. Again, the quote by Winston Churchill, a British statesman, a writer, served as Prime Minister of the UK from 1940, 1945, and then later on from 51 to 55. He's one of the greatest Britons of history. And again, I watched the riveting historical drama, Darkest Hour, yesterday, and made me think of Winston Churchill. I hope that quote is a blessing to you. We're going to put it up on the web at equip.org. Want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Michelle next in Lebanon, Ohio, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you. My daughter is a freshman in high school. We do homeschool, and we are also part of a co-op. She has recently been assigned a public speaking assignment, to support her belief in creation versus Darwinism or the Big Bang. And we have used several different curriculums. One of the curriculums we use often is Apologia that does, you know, talk about creation and the fact that it is true. I guess for my daughter, doing, you know, a five-minute presentation on such a large topic, what type of resources are reliable resources that she can go through to say, you know, this is what creation is, the Bible, she's familiar with it. This now is not lining up with, or this is, you know, how does this line up with Big Bang and evolution?
Yeah, so a couple of things that I would say about that. The first thing is you don't want to ask the Bible to answer questions it isn't designed to answer. So the Bible doesn't give us a chronology of creation. It gives us a hierarchy of creation, but it doesn't give us a chronology of creation. It doesn't give us a time frame. And once we get that straight, we don't have to worry about the opposition trying to knock down a straw man. And I bring this up because you brought up both Darwinism and Big Bang cosmology. Darwinism is demonstrably false because Darwin's premise was that microevolution leads to macroevolution, and that is demonstrably false. But you also bring up Big Bang cosmology, and Big Bang cosmology is not demonstrably false. It may be false, but it's the best cosmology that we have right now, and it coheres perfectly with what the Bible says, in the beginning, God. So we presuppose, as I quipped earlier on, that if there's a Big Bang, there has to be a Big Banger. So the Big Bang, that kind of cosmology, does not in any way negate the idea of a creator God. In fact, it presupposes it. So you don't want to get trapped answering questions that are juxtapositioned one against the other as though they're both in agreement. In other words, if you believe in Big Bang cosmology, you have to believe in evolutionary biology as well, and such is simply not the case. In terms of just a resource, the zombie science is a great resource, but I also did a flip chart, and that flip chart is available to the Ministry of Christian Research Institute. In fact, it's one of the offers that we're making this month, and what I do there is I try to take this complex matter and make it simple, and I do that using an acronym. The acronym is the FACE that demonstrates the farce of evolution, and the acronym is actually FACE or farce. I'll explain that in a second, but basically what I would do is I would start by demonstrating that the fossil record simply says no, and that's the F in FACE. And there's no evidence whatsoever in the fossil record of vertical transitional forms, transitions from one kind to another kind. The second letter A stands for ape men, fiction, fantasies, and frauds. And what I point out there is that there are all kinds of ape men. There's even an Ape Men icon that is supposedly now the argument. You look at the icon, you say, ah, there it is. You see the ape to man. That must be how it happened. But all of this is an illustration, and the illustration has no basis whatsoever in reality. I mean, you think of not all that long ago, Darwinian Marsili. This was supposed to be the seventh wonder of the world, the absolute proof of the ape to man icon, and now it has been dispensed with. It's no longer considered valid or viable. They'll trot out another one, and then another one, and another one, but you can look back at the past icons in this regard, the ape to man icons, and you find out that all of them are silly. Pithecanthropus erectus, Piltdown Man, Peking Man, and the list goes on. The C stands for chance, and chance in this sense refers to that which happens without purpose. And, evolution presupposes chance in this sense. Well, there's no chance of forming something as simple as a protein molecule by random processes, much less a living cell, much less a chimp, much less a human being. The chance simply doesn't exist. It defies all statistical probabilities. And then there's the E. The E stands for empirical science. And this is juxtapositioned against zombie science. Zombie science is actually, it's a narrative that goes against all the facts. But empirical science is testable science. You test it over and over again, and the hypothesis turns out to be true. So what you find with empirical science is that it militates against the theory of evolution. If you look at the basic laws of science, even cause and effect, it militates against the idea that nothing creates everything, that life comes from non-life, and that the life that comes from non-life produces morals. So you have an easy little grid here. The FACE that demonstrates the farce of evolution. FACE is the acronym, F-A-C-E. Fossil record says no. Ape men, icons proved to be unreliable. Chance has no chance from the standpoint of statistical probabilities and empirical science. Testable science militates against the theory of evolution. I also changed this acronym by adding the letter R. So FACE becomes farce. Yeah, and that R, I write about in my book, The FACE that Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution, that R stands for recapitulation. This is the evolutionary notion that ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny. Simply put, it means that the emerging embryo in a mother's womb goes through all the evolutionary stages. At one point, it's a fish, and then it's a frog, and finally, it becomes a fetus. This has been demonstrated to be false, but yet you find this taught in most of the textbooks your daughter will encounter. It is an absolute fraud. It is a farce, and that's why I call this the FACE that demonstrates the farce of evolution.
Okay. Well, I am going to check out that website and also get that flip chart because it's such a large topic and it's something that she's going to be facing, well into her future. And sometimes it's so overwhelming as a parent to try to answer these questions and take on something of this breadth.
And it's
in a 5-minute presentation.
And, right. And that's why I made the acronym. You can reduce it or expand it however you will, but I've got it in the reduced form where you can give the 5-minute elevator talk or 1-minute elevator talk, or you can talk about it for an hour. But you ought to get this mastered anyway because this is not just a apologetic issue. It is the apologetic issue. How one views their origins will ultimately determine how they live their life. If you believe that you're a function of chance, that you arose from the primordial slime, you're going to live your life by a different standard than if you know that you are created in the image and the likeness of God. So this makes all the difference in the world. So this is not just one of those issues. It's the issue that we have to wrap our arms around, and that's why it took the time early on in my career to develop this acronym to make it memorable.
Wonderful. And, I think just also trying you know, they're trying in the science class to teach us to listen to others, and to listen respectfully, but also to have, you know, facts to back up your faith, you know, why the Bible is the truth.
Right, but don't fall into the trap, and that's the first thing that I try to, don't fall into this trap where you are trying to explain away something like Big Bang cosmology. You don't have to. That's not tied to this idea of Darwinian evolution, that micro changes or microevolution leads to macroevolution. So don't take on an argument you don't have to take on. So you can say, look, Big Bang cosmology is the best cosmology out there, and it doesn't negate the Bible at all because the Bible says in the beginning God. If there's a Big Bang, there has to be a Big Banger. So don't take on an unnecessary argument. Don't follow that's one of the traps or the tricks of the trade, so to speak. This is the sleight of hand and sleight of mind that is pulled on people consistently. Or the other sleight of mind on the other side of the coin is that someone talks about micro changes, changes within kinds, as though this somehow or other supports macroevolution. That's sleight of hand as well. So don't fall for the tricks of the trade. They're used all the time. I talk about them in the flip chart, and certainly Jonathan Wells does a delightful job of dealing with it in Zombie Science. You got to get that book. These resources available for those who support the ministry. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thanks for tuning in. First day of the new year. I know it's January 2nd, but this is the first broadcast day of the new year. Hopefully we will have many more as God provides through God's people. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. As thanks for your gift and support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the book Zombie Science by Dr. Jonathan Wells. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. Or just visit online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. We have the perfect resource to help you stand for truth regarding creation. It's Hank Hanegraaff's flip chart, Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution. If you've ever seen a flip chart from our Hankronym series, you know they work. They're compact, portable, and packed with solid biblical truths you need to know so you can stand against false teaching such as the theory of evolution. Using the inherently memorable acronym FARCE, Hank equips you to share the news that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Hank wants to bless you with his flip chart as thanks for your donation today to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please call 888-7000-CRI to request your flip chart and share your donation. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.